Hey everybody, Matt Galogli with SRP Medical Marketing. And do you know the two most important positions in your medical practice? You're going to be pretty surprised what those two positions are. And I want you to stick with me because I'm going to share those with you. And I'm going to share with you why those two staff members can make you over $1 million a year. And I'm going to let you in on a secret. It's not an MA. It's not a PA. It's not a nurse practitioner. In fact, both of these staff members are best served if they have zero medical training. I'll explain in just a moment. But first, let me tell you a story about a long snapper. So for those of you that watch these or listen to my podcast on a regular basis, you know that I am a football fan. More college than I am pro. Quite frankly, I'll spend all Saturday on the couch watching college football. And in fact, two of my favorite teams are LSU and TCU, Texas Christian University. But more importantly, I'm fascinated by people that get paid big dollars for playing a specific role in a team. Did you know that pro football teams will pay big money for long snappers? Well, here's what I have found out. So when I was running the University Club of Baton Rouge, when I was back in the golf business, one of the Kitchen brothers, who there were two Kitchen brothers that played at LSU, and one of them played 14 years in the NFL. You want to know what his job was? Being a long snapper. That's all he did. He literally, all he did was snap the ball on punts and field goals and extra points. That was it. He might be in 8-10 plays a game. And he carved out an entire career, a 14-year NFL career. I think it was 14 years. Might have been a little bit longer, might have been a little bit less, and was paid handsomely. I don't know the exact numbers, and this was probably a good 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. But if memory serves me correctly, he was bringing in $500,000 to $750,000 a year, all for being a long snapper. Now, the interesting thing to me about being a long snapper is that they really don't have any other skills. I mean, I would talk to Mr. Kitchen, Brett Kitchen was his name, and he would tell him, I couldn't punt. He said, I couldn't kick. He said, I was a pretty lousy blocker. He said, I was just really good at snapping the ball back and hitting the same spot each and every single time. Made a pretty good living doing it. Which brings me to this thing about the positions. You see, there is a big difference that I notice in my work with medical practices all across the country and up in Canada. And as you can imagine, a large portion of my clients are doctors or they're nurse practitioners or they're PAs. But I get a few people that are what I call me's. They are not medically trained. And they just get attracted to running medical practices and investing in them. And actually, they do pretty well. Granted, they have doctors on staff and they have medical directors and all of that stuff. So they're in total compliance. I would never work with somebody that's not. But here's the interesting thing for me is the number one conversation. Let me rephrase that. One of the top three conversations I have with my doctors is the importance of answering the phone live. Yeah. You heard me, answering the phone live. Now, I'm not talking about answering it live on Saturday at 10 p.m., okay? I'm talking about answering it live from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 5 days a week. Now, a lot of my doctors go, well, we have somebody who answers the phone, but they're also an MA, so they do double duty. I thought that was really, really smart. And I tell them that's actually very, very dumb. You see, an MA is not going to answer the phone well. That's not what MAs do. MAs draw blood, they set up procedures, they order medical supplies. They're not people who should be on the phone. In fact, people who like to answer the phone probably would make a horrible MA, just like I'd make a horrible doctor. Even though I'm very passionate about it, even though I know quite a bit, you don't want me drawing your blood, or you really don't want me doing a procedure on you, okay? So the first thing that I really want you to get is the first position that you need is someone who answers the phones exclusively in your practice and answers them live. Now, in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you an example of what happens to a practice when they put that person in place. I'll actually show you a screenshot. I've grayed out all the names so you can't see it. I'll show that to you in just a little bit. But let's go back to this position of hiring somebody to answer the phones exclusively. First and foremost, why is this so important? Well, the number one thing that most that doctors do not get is that somebody who calls your practice live, if they leave a message, your chances of getting back in touch with them decline every hour on the hour. And what happens with most places is they let the calls go to voicemail thinking, oh, I'll call them back and I'll rebook them. But the reality is that people are calling you when they are in pain, or as I like to think about it, when they're in heat, right? Think about it from a dog standpoint. They have an immediate need right then and there. They are calling you when they have a bleeding neck. If you've been through any of my materials, you'll understand the whole concept of the bleeding neck. You know, and if you don't pick up, they're going to go to your competitor. So the first thing you need is you need somebody who answers the phone exclusively. And they have to answer that phone live. And I would highly recommend that they are in your practice. Now, how much do you pay for this person? Well, in today's day and age, it varies all over the place. I will tell you that we paid pretty good money for somebody to answer the phone. I would pay them like $15 an hour in North Carolina. Okay. In some cases, we would pay them higher, just sort of dependent on a few things. But the key thing is that you have to answer those phones live. That person can have no other responsibility. They should not be in MA. They should not be in the back drawing blood. They should not be doing blood pressure. They should not be doing anything other than being the first smiling face that people see when they walk into your practice, or the first smiling voice that they hear when they call your practice. This person is in charge of answering the phone, booking appointments, following up with web leads immediately, not waiting until a day. I had a client of mine one time, brilliant, brilliant doctor. And he worked with me for over a year in opening his practice. And the real sad part about it is that he didn't do very well. And there was a reason why he didn't do very well, is that he refused to hire somebody to answer the calls. He had a family member calling people back. The problem is that family member had quite a few kids and couldn't answer the calls live and would usually call people back in 24 to 48 hours. And they weren't able to book any appointments. Contrast that with the example that I'm going to show you in just a little bit of Trevor, my client up in Buffalo, and they're answering the calls live and boom, they are booking a ton of appointments. I'll show you those results here in just a minute. Well, you know what? Let me show it to him now. Let's just do this so you can get an idea. Okay, so this is his calendar for the upcoming week at the time of this recording. If you are listening to this in a podcast, what I want you to understand is I've grayed out all of their information, and you will see that everywhere you see somebody in green, anywhere you see somebody in green, that is a new appointment. And you're going to notice here that Friday's not that full. He texted this to me last night. Thursday and Friday are not that full. They fully expect, and this is today's Tuesday when I'm recording this, they fully expect that Tuesday and Thursday and Friday to fill out. When he looked at his calendar a week before he dedicated one person to just answering the calls live, this calendar was empty. That is the power of making sure that you are answering your calls live. And I'll talk more about this in a minute. So the number one job of this person is to book appointments. Now, if you want to do what I tell my new clients all the time, is that they need to have 20 inbound phone calls in a week, book 14 of those. Okay. Let me back up a second. I'm sorry. Book 20 appointments per week. 14 of those will show. 7 of those will become patients. And if your average revenue per transaction is $3,000, that's $21,000 for the week. Do that 4 weeks in a row. That's 84 grand. That's $1 million a year. Okay. So this person, this staff member, is that they love being on the phone. They are usually an extrovert. They can follow scripts. You've heard me talk ad nauseum about following scripts. If you are not following scripts, you are drastically hurting yourself. Again, and then I'm going to go to the second most important person in your staff, but this front desk person is not an MA. They do not have dual responsibilities. If you have staff members and they are in charge of doing two things and they are vitally different, they're going to default to the thing that they enjoy doing the most. So MAs are not going to be so eager to pick up the phone. They are going to be eager to do things like blood draws and order stuff and all that other cool stuff that MAs love to do. Okay. I know I employed a lot of MAs. Okay. So that's the first thing. Hire a front desk person and pay them well. 40 hours a week. Do not skimp. Do not think that you can hire that position to be 10 hours a week. Do not think that that position can be work from home some days a week. None of it. They have to be 40 hours a week in the office. I have, like I've said, I've had three of my own locations. We've booked a ton of appointments. We've booked 50 appointments per week per location. That's 150 appointments per week between three locations. You need front desk people. That's all they do. Okay. Second position, highly, highly underrated and misunderstood. And that is, I like to call them patient counselors. You need to hire patient counselors. What is a patient counselor? They are the person that sells the procedure to the patient. The doctor is not in charge of selling. The MA is not in charge of selling. The PA, the NP, the RN, none of those people are in charge of selling unless you have that real rare instance where they're incredibly great salespeople. I will tell you that the chances of that happening are pretty slim. Okay. You want somebody who is very, very good at listening to the customer, not talking to the customer, but listening to the needs and the concerns of the customer and working with you to put together a plan and a protocol in order for that patient to buy. Okay. Now, so let's, a great salesperson will make you, get this, $1 million a year. I'm just going to sit there for a second. A great salesperson will make you $1 million a year. I can guarantee it. You want to know why? Because I've hired tons of great salespeople at my clinics, and I've helped my patient, my clients do it as well. And that great salesperson will make them $1 million a year. That's $84,000 a month. Your job as the doctor is to diagnose and then hand that patient off. Okay. Let's go back to the long snapper. You know what else is interesting about the long snapper in the NFL? Is that they're closely related to the kicker, right? They don't do a lot during the game. And did you know that in a lot of NFL teams now, they have a kicker for kicking field goals and a kicker for kicking off? They have deemed it to be so important in so many teams that they'll actually have two kickers on their staff. One who's great at kicking field goals. Two, another one who's great at kicking it deep into the end zone. Find that rather interesting, because what they're doing is they're highly specializing with that staff member. Okay. Now you might think to yourself, well, Matt, I'm not an NFL team. I don't have that kind of payroll corporate capabilities. Well, then why don't you just think about it from the standpoint of a Division II football team? It's the same thing. Great teams identify people who are really good at things and they let them go do just that. See, an MA, my experience has been an MA, a PA, an NP, rarely are they great salespeople. I have a client of mine who's in the West Coast and he has a great practice, does very, very well. And his challenge is that he wants to quit working so much. But he says, Matt, I don't feel like I can, because I'm the only one that can close the complicated cases. And what I told him was he's full of it, quite frankly. The reason why he is still in there is he hasn't found the right person who can sell that, because he keeps trying to hire medical people to do non-medical jobs. I want you to think about it like this. You know, think about the pharmaceutical rep, or think about the medical supply rep, or think about the joint rep, or whatever other rep comes into your store. How many of them are doctors? Probably pretty small. In fact, I went to college with a couple of my college friends. They both work in the knee and hip joint replacement business, titanium. And they're in surgery just about every day. And they always joke that they have to tell the doctors what to do. Not tell them what to do, but remind them of how things work and all of that. And the funny thing is I know both of these guys, and they were drunken buffoons in college, but they're really, really good at building that relationship with their doctors, and their doctors love them. They play golf with them. They take them out to dinner legally. They're great, great friends together. And the thing that I want you to really get with this is that a great salesperson, not a pushy salesperson, not a car salesman or woman, I should say, somebody who understands building relationships, somebody who understands the importance of asking questions and listening, is worth their weight in gold to you. If a patient counselor for me did not make me $1 million a year, we either help them get fixed or we let them go. It was that simple, okay? Because it's really kind of a unique position. They don't need to know everything that there is to know about the procedure. What they really need to know is they need to understand the pain that the patient is dealing with, and how your product and services and procedures fix that. That's all they need to know. They don't need to know how many platelets are in there and, you know, all this stuff about the exosomes and any of that stuff. They just need to know They need to feel the pain of the patient. And so those two positions right there will make you in excess of $1 million a year. And I can pretty much guarantee it, because every single time I get a doctor that finally decides to make that move, and I will tell you the first position you should hire out of these two is a front desk person whose sole job is to answer that phone 40 hours a week and book appointments. That is their number one job. Within a couple of weeks, you're going to realize you need a patient counselor. And literally within 90 days, you'll have these two positions filled. Don't start with the patient counselor, because quite frankly, well, they're not going to have enough people to see because nobody's answering the phone. And don't think, by the way, that you can hire a patient counselor and they also operate on the phone. It doesn't work that way, because guess what happens when they start to get busy? The patient counselor's in the room selling the patient, and then who's booking the appointments? Okay. So trust me on this. All right. Building three clinics from the ground up, doing $6.5 million a year, learned a thing or two. And I want to pass that on to you. Okay. Number one position that you need to hire before you hire anything else is somebody to answer the phone live 40 hours a week. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no argument. Okay, I keep saying to trust me, but I think you get my point. So that's my recommendation to you, because here's my question for you. Whoops. Do you want to have something like this on your calendar? It's a pretty nice day. I can promise you this client, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a $50,000 week this week. That's how good it's going to be. When's the last time you had a $50,000 week? Yeah, they're selling stuff for about $2,000 to $3,000 a pop, which I'll talk to you more about pricing in another one. So go hire yourself a front desk person, and then go hire somebody, start looking for somebody who's great at selling, who loves people, who loves relationships, who wants to help people, and for that person to be your advocate with the patient for them to buy. That's it. That's what I have today. So thank you so much. If you're listening to this on our podcast, please feel free to subscribe, like it. Same thing if you are on LinkedIn, Facebook, wherever you're watching this, YouTube, give us a big old thumbs up. I'd really appreciate it. It helps us get the message out to more and more doctors. And if you are interested in talking to me about solving some of your problems, check it out on callwithmatt.com. Yeah, that's the site. You can book a 30-minute consultation with me. And I'll be more than happy to dig into your situation and your practice and help you put a plan of attack to make it right. Look, you're a doctor. You should make the money that you richly deserve. When was the last time you saw a lawyer discounting their fee? Probably never. So why don't we get you paid what you're worth? Give me a call, set up an appointment. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, everybody.